I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. That? I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I crossed valleys, fair, man.
All right. Welcome to Barnstorming PA. This is Taylor Lightman. I'm one of the co-producers here. It's just me. It's just me today. And I'm going to be interviewing Denise Maris, who's running for state representative in both Clinton and Union counties, bits of both, if I'm correct on that. And it's a pleasure to have Denise in today, welcoming our first-time listeners, welcoming returning listeners to the program. We cover politics, progressive politics, in rural Pennsylvania. One of our taglines here is boldly progressive, proudly rural, and I think we try and embody that with everything we do. We have, merchandise that has this kind of message. You know, if you've ever been to Central PA, you often see hex signs. We have a hex sign donkey that says "Elect Democrats." I love that merch. Check out barnstormingpa.org. You can get your tote or your mug there, and it's super fun. Thank you so much to our supporters on Patreon, those who donate monthly, those who have donated just one time on PayPal or whatever. You can also be a supporter if you go to barnstormingpa.org, find it there. Even though we're just talking, it's not free to produce, so we appreciate the support. It allows us to bring people this program free of charge, which we think adds value to local democratic efforts, progressive campaigns, and to get the word out about how great it is to live in Central PA and be a member of the community here. So without further ado, we're going to have this interview with Denise, and it's a pleasure to have you on. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm going to forewarn you now. I am in a rural part of Pennsylvania. And as anyone knows who's ever been in a rural part of Pennsylvania, hopefully the service does well tonight. But if not, no, your screen is not broken. It's probably I'm glitching.
Yeah. And, this is classic Central PA, and we'll do our best. And hopefully this is an issue that we can talk about later in the show. So
Sure. One
of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the pod, in addition to being my future state representative, you represent one of these districts that was until quite recently represented by a Democrat, until I think 2018, actually, was represented by Mike Hanna. A lot of times we have the impression that these districts, there's no way they could ever elect a Democrat. It hasn't been 50 years, but you're running in a district that's not the case for. It's Clinton County, is pretty much all of Clinton County, and then primarily most of Union County, except for Union Township and East Buffalo Township. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And you're from Clinton County, Renovo, isn't that correct?
That is correct. Yes, I am from Renovo.
Okay, excellent. Well, I want to start the interview off with a little bit about your background. You have this excellent line on your website that I really like. It says, and I'm going to paraphrasing here: "Vote for me if you want someone who knows what it's like to make hard financial decisions in a tough economy, and someone who realizes the value of a quality, affordable education."
Agreed.
And I really like this line because, you have a background that a lot of people in this district are familiar with. You mm-hmm. say on your website you've worked as a paralegal, a school bus driver, AmeriCorps, and mm-hmm. while you're doing all of that, you've gone to school, you've gone back to mm-hmm. school, you have a master's degree, kicking ass as the director of an HR department now.
Yeah.
And you did all that while taking care of kids. Mm-hmm. So that's super badass and very familiar to a lot of people around here. How does this background inform your politics? And then, how do you connect with people that don't share your particular background to create unbreakable mm-hmm. solidarity?
Right. Well, I mean, the reality of it is, to answer your first question is, I've lived life to a point, right? I understand what it's like coming out of high school, not necessarily understanding direction, right? I have this idea that when a high school students come out of high school, they've had their entire life kind of mapped out for them, correct? Like you go to elementary school, then you go to middle school, and then you go to high school. And then when you go to high school, everybody's like, okay, good luck, have fun. And you're like, wait a minute, what do I do now? Right. And that was kind of an experience I had when I left my high school. My mom always said to me, you're going to get a job, right? You're going to get a job, right? And I got a job like I was supposed to do. But then I realized that that job wasn't a sustaining job for me. And at the time I had my daughter, my one and only daughter. And I said, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to raise her as a single mother just working these jobs with a high school diploma. So I went back and I got my, I first got my paralegal degree, and I worked in law for many, many, many years. But being a single mom during the times that I was with my daughter and eventually my son and now my two other children, you know, the struggles that I made, I always tell people, you know, I know what it's like paying all the bills for the house, right? Get all the bills paid and you're left with 20 bucks, right? Maybe eggs. Maybe some bread, maybe some milk, right? We didn't go on very elaborate vacations. Vacations was to visit family. That was our vacation. So I get that initial struggle. And people are still struggling today with that. Then fast forward now to a situation where I worked in healthcare. I still work in healthcare. I work as an HR director, like you said. During a pandemic, right, that nobody experienced, and probably maybe a small population of people who were over 100 years old, who went through the 1919 swine flu. And we leaned on our government officials and our leaders to push us through this pandemic. And they didn't. Unfortunately, they didn't. As a matter of fact, they bucked against us, right? And that's the frustration. Again, being an HR director, I deal with benefits every day, right? So I have quite a few people in my facility where they can't retire because they can't afford the medical insurance. So they work way longer than they need to work. When they really should work, they should retire, enjoy their life, but they can't because they can't afford the medical insurance. I have a staff member who drops their insurance because it's getting too expensive for them, right? And then I have staff members who can't find childcare, or if they do, it's too expensive, right? And these are things I've experienced myself. So my hope is having a very realistic outlook of what the struggles the average working family or working individual goes through would help me to guide us into an area where when a decision's made, I'm going to go, wait a minute, take off the legislator hat and put on the human hat and say, okay, how is this really going to affect the people that I represent? What is this really going to do for them? And how is it going to benefit them? Because I think that's what's missing today.
Something that always drives me crazy about our politics, and particularly politics, from the Republican Party, is that, you know, you'll see this with a Republican senator. I think of Rob Portman, who has a gay son, and that has led Rob Portman to have seen the light of day supporting gay marriage, has led him to do that. However, it just does not change his outlook on life. That doesn't then extend to other groups of marginalized people. I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think having somebody that is a working class candidate that could be a state representative with a working class background gives you the ability to see that and see the struggle that people are going through. Is that what you think you bring to the table as a working class candidate?
You know, it's one of the things that I talked, right? So when we look at our area and we look at the demographics of our area, right? So I'm already kind of jumping, I'm kind of climbing a mountain, correct? Because there's more Republicans in our area than there are Democrats. So right now, I'm totally against the 8-ball. Totally against it. I'm already fighting a fight, and I'm fighting up this mountain. And whenever I talk to anyone, one of the frustrations I initially have is, you know, I introduce myself, I say hi, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And I never introduce my party. Now, the party never comes into play until they ask me about my party. And I kind of respond in one of two ways. I say, yes, I'm a Democrat, but please don't hold that against me, right? Because the narrative is so bad. It's like, Democrat, oh, no, not Democrat. Oh, you're one of those. I get a lot of that. Oh, you're one of those. So now, instead of having an even playing field and saying, I have to now justify my party, correct? I can't even go into my platforms. I can't even go what I can do for the district. I have to justify the party I'm with. But once I no longer do that. So I just say, I'm a Democrat. I hope you don't hold that against me. And they're like, well, you know, so I'm a Republican. And I actually had a conversation with a gentleman today who said that to me. He says, well, I'm a Republican. I said, yeah. And that means what? I said, that means nothing. Because at the end of the day, right, I'm representing everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, you know, whatever you want to classify yourself as, I'm still representing everyone. And when you look at our issues, and I think this is where we've gotten lost at, you know, having a living wage is not a party issue. Being able to afford our health care is not a party issue. Ensuring that our environment is safe for us and our children is not a party issue. So when I present that to people I talk to me, I see their guard go down and they go, okay, she's not going to beat over my head what her thoughts or ideas were. I want to say, let's have a conversation, because I guarantee you after the conversation, we will have a common ground. And the common ground is going to be, we're all in this together, right? We're all in this together, and we have to take care of each other. Because unfortunately, as time is continuously showing us, the working class individual is no longer being represented properly in government. It's not. And that's the reality of it. And being an HR director, right? I'm pretty sure it's like, oh no, HR, no, I don't want to go to HR. Everybody hates going to HR and it drives me insane. But when I look at an issue or I look at a problem, I have to look at it from basically 360, right? You have to look at an issue. When I do an investigation, I have to say, okay, someone came with a complaint. Who was around when this complaint happened? Who was exposed to this? What's the policy of the company? How is this going to impact the employee, right? So there's so many different aspects that come into that ultimate, you know, are we going to proceed with discipline? Are we just going to discipline? Are we just going to have a conversation? You know, there's so many facets to the situations, and there's so many different facets to people that ultimately at the end of the day, we all just want to live life without the constant stress of, can I pay for this? Can I pay for that? How much is this going to cost me? Oh my God, gas is going up, blah, 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 blah. But then, you know, sometimes what is fed to us, whether in media or in social or whatever, is not necessarily truths in that somebody else is feeding it, but they're not living our life. Right? They're not living our lives every day.
I imagine this is a constant frustration with you to have to fully embody and understand that everything is very complex and multidimensional, and then have to work in a political system that doesn't recognize in any differences between black and white when there are many shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you about something. So since Roe versus Wade has been you know, overturned with the Dobbs decision. We've heard a lot about this and how the government fails families systematically. How do you, I'm just wondering broadly, how can the state better support families from your perspective? And if there's mm-hmm. any specific policies that you would be a champion of in the state legislature to support families?
This, again, goes back to the multifaceted situation of just being an American, right? So, you know, Roe versus Wade was overturned. And thankfully, in Pennsylvania, we still have the ability to get an abortion. And the frustration that I have surrounding that is there is an often a thought that people think that this is a decision that a woman or a family makes as though they're going to change their shoes. I'm just going to get an abortion, no big deal. You know, it has lifelong consequences. I know women who have had them, who have guilt, who still have guilt today. As a male, you may not know this, but whenever you go see a new gynecologist, they always ask you, brand new gynecologist, how many live births have, how many miscarriages have you had, and how many abortions have you had? You know, so we as women are constantly reminded of those decisions that we've made. And in addition to that, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, right? People think it's just a woman somebody who may have, you know, gotten pregnant. It was unplanned. They don't want it. But there's more to it than that. There's such a deeper layer. There are ectopic pregnancies. There are babies that are born deformed who may not live outside, you know, the birth for maybe a couple of hours. I mean, there's so many facets to it. And I think the frustration I have is, especially with how our government is going at the moment with the abortion, is that yet they're failing to care for the people that are currently, who have families now, right? I'm trying to remember it. I think I saw an article where it told, I'm trying to remember how much it cost. I think it was like maybe 100,000, if somebody can let me know what that amount was, of what it was, what the cost was to raise a child today, right? Just to raise the child, not even to put them in college, just to raise that child. Working families are very proud people, right? We don't want a handout. We don't. You know, we want to work hard for what we have. But in the same respect, if there's something available to help a working families, whether that's to help subsidize a childcare center, so the you know, the families can work, to help subsidize possibly some utilities in their homes, or help subsidize some food that they can receive, right? Because there's plenty of things that, there's plenty of studies that show that when you infuse money into the working family, we and then in turn infuse that money into our economy. So we're the ones that continuously keep our economy going. And to answer your question regarding, once I get into Harrisburg, what legislation I'm going to support, I'm going to support legislations that help families, because I know what it's like. You know, I am absolutely terrified when my kids get old enough to buy a car, because I'm like, great, how am I going to afford this car? You know, the insurance is going to jack up. How am I going to afford that insurance? You know, those are the things that sometimes keeps families up at night. You know, how am I going to pay for this expense? I mean, let's not even get started with braces. That's a whole other hot mess.
You know? For sure. Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's one of those things, again, where, you know, we're not having the necessary conversations. Yeah, we're gonna stop talking. We're just gonna talk about abortion, and that's it, period, end of story. Well, there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just abortion. There's so much more layers. There's more to it than just families. There's so many layers, and there's so much complexity to it. And again, coming from the background that I have, I've been known to get a little crazy in my head because I get so passionate about it, because I'm like, oh my God, you're missing the point of it. You're not understanding where how this impacts the people. You know, again, regardless of party, this is impacting the people, and it's impacting the people in a way that, because we've given authority to legislators who doesn't necessarily care about us anymore, we'll go, okay, well, I'll just pass that. I don't really care. Because think about it. When was the last time you had a town hall meeting with your representative before I switched over to the one that I have now?
It has not happened.
Exactly. When was the last time that you were able to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, I have an issue with this legislation you're pushing through? You know, can you talk to me about that, please? Because I have a problem with that. When was the last time a legislator called you and said, hey, this is potentially coming down the pipeline. I know it's going to hurt you. What do you think about it? They do it anyway.
So related to the last question, an important issue on your platform is education. I'm wondering if you could give me some specific examples of how Pennsylvania can strengthen its education system.
First and foremost, for everything that is fabulous in this world, if the legislators can just stay away and let the teachers do their job, right? We need to ensure that our schools are funded properly. There should be no reasons why teachers need to be taking money out of their own pockets to supply supplies to their children, you know, set up their classrooms. Teachers should be able to go in there and successfully teach what they've been trained to do. I don't know any teacher that does not have a bachelor's degree, right, to teach. And as a matter of fact, in Lock Haven University, they always strive that you had a professor, somebody who had a PhD, who taught your classes, right? It's sad to see where Pennsylvania lands on the educational level, the quality of our education. We need to fund our schools. And I know, and I hope that people may be like, oh yeah, she just wants to throw money. She just wants to throw money. I think it's just a frustration, because in anything that we do in life, it is built upon our education, right? We are only as successful in our country as how well educated our workforce and our people are. And whether people want to believe this or not, we cannot compete on a global scale when we do not have a good educated workforce. The pendulum is now starting to swing towards trades. And the reason why I know this is because I'm an HR director, so I deal with it all the time. You think you can just get a trade by walking into a place and saying, okay, I want to be a plumber or I want to be an electrician? No, you have to have some education. So ensuring that enough funding is properly given to our school districts, because again, then you run into some school districts get more money than other school districts, and it becomes a little bit of a hot mess. School boards are elected to ensure that our schools are functioning properly, are funded properly. So we need to do, and we need to give them what they need, and then step back and say, okay, do your job. Do what you've been either elected to or trained to do, right? Just do your job. And then if there's issues, then maybe we'll step in, take a look. But at the end of the day, step away and say, you know what? Do your job, right? Because I don't want anyone coming into my job and telling me how to do my job.
So just to be clear, you don't support Doug Mastriano's plan to cut per pupil spending by $10,000 per year. To take it from $19,000 to $9,000. That's not something you support?
No.
Okay. All right. Good.
No, I don't.
I'll have you on the record here now.
Yeah. No, I don't. And the reason why I don't support that is because I often wonder, and again, any of your listeners or anyone's looking at this, I often wonder, is it done by design to continuously keep our people in our society at a lower standard of education, where you can feed them whatever they want and they're going to believe you because they haven't been taught to think outside that box? So less funding for a school system, a less educated workforce, more drones kind of in the mind that'll just go, okay, well, I got this job. I don't care. I'm just going to keep doing it. And then the legislators or people in government go, okay, well, you know, we've done our job. They're dumb. You know, cool. We can keep doing what we're doing. I mean, that's just, I just can't.
You work in healthcare. What can Pennsylvania do to have greater access to affordable care?
The first thing I immediately think of, providing technology available to individuals that are in a rural area, right? Oftentimes what we find is grandma who doesn't want to leave her home, right? But lives away from everyone because everybody's moved away because there's not jobs in the area. You know, there's just not life in the area. So they move on, but grandma still stays in the family home that's away from everything. There's so many advancements in technology now regarding the healthcare field where we can have, you know, grandma still talk to a quality doctor through her phone or someone who can come visit her to make sure she's okay. Having access to doctors that can take care of our sick people and not have them jump through hoops to get them or give them a quality care that's substandard because of, oh, well, you get Medicare, Medicaid, so you can't get that service. That's for, you know, private pay people. No, you shouldn't do that. You know, again, it goes back to when we have a healthy society, again, we all benefit from it. So why wouldn't you want to take care of the people who are in your society? I get crazy because I don't, you know, and then don't even get me started when it comes to how much some of these caregivers get paid. Their salaries, their starting salaries for what they do. I just can't.
We haven't talked at all about your opponent. What's the biggest difference between the two of you?
The biggest that I will talk to you is the biggest one. From my dealings is from what I've heard from individuals is if you have not given money to your campaign, if you are not part of her party, or if you don't believe like she believes, then she will not talk to you. She will not represent you. She is inaccessible, does not talk to the constituents, shows up to events, takes a photo op, and then leaves. Doesn't debate, because from what I understand, she doesn't debate anybody. There is a time and a place for religion. I'm a religious person. I have my beliefs, but I do not put my beliefs on anyone else. And I do not allow my beliefs to sway myself other than my moral compass. My moral and my ethical compass is the ones I sit on the most. This incumbent uses her religion to guide her. And there's a reason why there's a separation between church and state.
Yeah, definitely. So are there any accomplishments that you like, we're coming to the close of the interview here. Are there any accomplishments that you want voters to be sure to know about?
So accomplishments and you mean like necessarily in the campaign or personally?
could be both, could be either.
Okay. I would say that I'm very honored and pleased that the Union County Democrats have endorsed me. The Clinton County Democrats, of course, it's a given. They've endorsed me as well because I'm in the area. And then I wouldn't invite them to dinner if they didn't. Just joking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, we've had very good endorsements. Represent PA endorsed us. Ricky's Pride, which is an LGBTQ community, endorsed us. I'm filling out, believe it or not, a ton of surveys. So, you know, if you don't necessarily identify with a particular party, my information's out there. I do fill out all of the questionnaires that come to me. And, you know, I'm proud to say that I knock on the door too. I make a phone call too. I text bank too. I come early. I stay late. I make sure I talk to as many people as I can. And I hope that my personality has come through here. I'm a very happy person. I'm a very, you know, jokey person. I always have a smile on my face. And I really, truly, truly feel that just listening to people and finding a common ground is what's going to push us forward, right? Because the division within our country right now, in our state, the division is tearing families apart, right? I've heard families who say, I can't have Thanksgiving dinner because of my, you know, crazy aunt or crazy uncle, or my mom has gone down this path where I just don't understand. You know, this country is hurting. Our state is hurting, right? Our children are hurting because they may not see cousins or aunts or uncles or grandma, grandpa, you know, and we need to heal. And if healing means that we need to stop and just listen to each other and find the common ground, then yeah. I am going to stop and listen and find the common ground.
You know what we really need? A representative from HR here.
You know it. Yeah.
How can people engage with their campaign? How can people find out more?
Okay. So of course my website, which is www.denisemaris.com. My Facebook page, which is Denise Maris 76 for State House. My Twitter handle, which is Maris Denise. TikTok, sorry guys, the gray hair, you know, there's like so many social media that I can do.
Have a TikTok though. I did check it out. I was curious.
So, you know, I'm slowly working up on that. And anyone can give me a call. You know, my phone number is 814-954-0662. If I don't answer, I'm probably dealing with an employee issue, but I do try to answer my phone. I will, if anyone requests the yard sign, I will personally deliver it to your house. You know, I will show up, I will talk to you. I'm real. I'm a real, real down to earth. Gosh darn it, I was a school bus driver. I drove elementary school, you know, kids. Like I'm a nice person.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that has absolutely come through, and I wish you the best of luck on the campaign trail, and thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the invitation, and I hope to see everybody. Don't forget, vote November 8th. It's important. Tell your friends.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye. Travel, I haven't had my share, man.